May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So the Feast of Pentecost is the great feast of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. But I'd like to begin by reading a passage about the Holy Spirit from a woman some of you may be familiar with from the 12th century, Hildegard of Bingen, one of those medieval mystics. There were a number of powerful women in the Middle Ages that were writers and spiritual leaders and teachers, and Hildegard was one of them. Here's what she says. Holy Spirit, giving life to all life, moving all creatures, root of all things, washing them clean of all mistakes, healing their wounds, you are our true life, luminous, wonderful, awakening the heart from its ancient sleep. That's how Hildegard describes the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to make just a few sort of preliminary remarks because this day celebrates the sending of the Holy Spirit. But we have to understand that in certain ways, I think, because the Holy Spirit has been present from the very beginning of creation. As we hear in the book of Genesis, you know, the Spirit hovered over the waters, and continues to do so in another of the great poems of the Holy Spirit, Gerard Manley Hopkins, and God's Grandeur, who concludes that poem with that God has not abandoned us because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with bright wings. The Holy Spirit has always been here. And so it's not so much, I would suggest, ascending that we're really celebrating today, but rather more in the biblical tradition that it is we who must change. It is our eyes who are opened, which are opened to see what has been going on all the time. When you hear this language, listen a little bit again. Washing them clean of all mistakes, healing their wounds, you are our true life. I think it's one of the most important things to understand about our Christian life is that in this, say for instance, in this case, the Holy Spirit is always active. As we say so frequently, we live and move and have our being in God. We are alive within God. It's not some external source. And so it is we who are not adequately noticing what the Spirit actually does. And I hope you hear in this language the language first of baptism, that cleansing, renewing. And what if, I mean, this is a very traditional day when for us to ritualize the reality of baptism. But I want us to understand that the reality of baptism is going on all the time. That God's activity, the activity of the Holy Spirit, is cleansing people and renewing people all the time. We have a ritual for that draws our attention to it and says, you are a child of God, and we ask that our perceptions be cleansed so that we can see what actually is. Now, we've been talking some about, as you have seen, our children here. This is a relatively new development in the life of St. Andrew's. And one of the things we've been talking about is the innate spirituality of children. And, of course, that is in some way a common sense, that sort of the innocence of children. But we all know that we don't stay innocent. You know, by the time I got to kindergarten, I started experiencing myself as being compared to others, being evaluated, being judged. I started to get anxious about what was acceptable in me, the normal sort of human confusion that begins to accrue. And in our hearts and in our minds, those anxieties and those judgments and those comparisons really cloud our vision. So again, the hope is not that the Holy Spirit come into a place where it has not been, but that we wake up and see it where it has always been. Another of the phrases that I kind of leaned on the phrase when I read it. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. Oftentimes we think the Holy Spirit, if we think about the Holy Spirit, and I realize not all of us spend day after day thinking about that. If we think about the Holy Spirit, it might be a sense of something new coming to us. And I would like to suggest something rather different, that it's not something new coming to us, but rather something that gets taken away. We get simplified, we get clarified, we get cleansed, so that we can see. And, you know, we have these two stories about language today. And that seeing, I think, is really at the heart of what those stories are about. I mean, we have an ancient story from the book of Genesis about the origin of different languages. Maybe just go to Wikipedia, you can find about 30 origin stories about the origins of language and their differentiation. So we're hearing the confusion of language that seems to be reversed in the book of Acts. I hear them speaking in my own language. And yet, clearly, understanding one another is not merely a matter of language. We do fine with language. We can translate. And if it were simply a matter of hearing your words, I would understand you. But it's so much deeper than that. We are fairly confused beings. There's a lot of static on the lines of communication between us. And so what the Holy Spirit, what we're talking about today is, how do we get those lines of communication clearer? How do we recognize each other more deeply? And I sometimes turn to figures. You know, you would know that, like Nelson Mandela. I think Nelson Mandela, in his decades of imprisonment in South Africa, as day after day and year after year and decade after decade, he practiced the holy discipline of recognizing the humanity, the precious, deep, God-beloved humanity in his jailers, the people who treated him with contempt. He saw them. Even when they could not see themselves, he saw them, even despite their cruelty. He saw them as human beings, and after decades, they came to see themselves too, and they began to see the humanity of Nelson Mandela, and they were healed. They were healed in their seeing. And what we're recognizing, I think, what Nelson Mandela recognized is almost identical to what we might recognize among the newly baptized. You are a precious child of God. You might not recognize it, and you certainly don't recognize it in me. But I am going to act out of my deep freedom. You might say the freedom conferred by the Holy Spirit that springs us from our prisons of cultural assumptions and prejudice that we don't even notice. He practiced the divine discipline of recognizing the holy humanity of those who treated him with contempt, and he changed the world. The gospel, did you listen to the gospel this morning? It said something absolutely remarkable. Jesus said to his disciples, "The one who loves me will do the same works that I do, and even greater works." How do we hear that? It's a very challenging statement, partly because it seems evident that we as Christian people do not do the same works that Jesus did, whatever the conjugation is. It's almost heartbreaking. I think part of that is the result that we have taught ourselves for now 2,000 years about both the nature of Jesus and his relationship with the Father and the uniqueness of his relationship with his Father. And we have taught ourselves about our fallen humanity and certainly following St. Augustine, how we are completely cut off from God. And maybe our teaching needs to adjust itself in recognition of this radical statement by Jesus, "The one who loves me will do the same works that I do, and even greater works, because you participate in the same Spirit." You know, as we say in our offertory, let us rejoice as we make our offerings, for we have been invited to share in the same Spirit that filled the heart and mind of Jesus with love. That same Spirit is alive in us. And again, it is our blessed path of discipline and maturation and growth to recognize it more deeply, not just in other human beings, but in all creatures. I mean, I think one of the deep, deep gifts of what we call the Holy Spirit is a spirit of communion. It unites things. It establishes the connections between things. There are lots of unholy communions in the world, and spirits that are not so holy that say, "We are together against them." And that is never the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the hard work of reconciling love, like we can see in the life of someone like Nelson Mandela. And then finally, maybe we are actually closer to doing the works of Jesus than we usually suspect. Because we usually think of the works of Jesus as miraculous, raising the dead, healing, turning water into wine. And maybe the works, greater works like Jesus, are something closer to what Nelson Mandela did. Not turning water into wine, but turning the hard, stony heart of his jailer to a human heart of flesh. And we underestimate that miracle all the time. But boy, when you look at that picture in Acts and all those different nationalities, and then you think of our own world and how pluralistic it is and how many peoples and how many religions and how much conflict, maybe we should pay more attention to the rare but more subtle miracle of hearts being changed, of seeing those, even those with whom we are in conflict, remembering who they are as a child of God and seeing them that way, perhaps before they can see it themselves. But as Ezekiel said, "Oh, I will take out your hearts of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And maybe that's the great miracle that will bring not an ability. I wish that a spirit would suddenly give me the ability to speak French. That's what I would like. But I really would rather have a heart-to-heart understanding and recognition of those around me, and let that flower into the kind of world that Jesus announced. It's